We're doing Masechet Ta'anit, and as the name indicates, our Masechet is going to focus about Ta'aniyot, about fasts. Now, the first part of the Masechet focuses on fasts that stem from the fact that there are no rain, that there's no rain. When it doesn't rain, so we have rabbinic institutions to fast. And the Mishnayot revolve around when we begin asking for rain, and then when the rain doesn't come, how we set up the fast, and from there we evolve to the other fasts. But that is going to be the order of the Masechet. So let's begin. Our Masechet begins, Meyeh Matay Mazkirin Gvurot Kshamim. From when do we mention in Shmona Esrei God's greatness in bringing rain? We know that we say that God is Morid HaGeshem, God brings down rain. That is one of the praises that we mention in Shmona Esrei about God. We say, Ata Gibbo, you are Gibbo, you are mighty. Mechaye Metim, you resurrect the dead. Rav Loshia, you are great in your salvation. So when a person might give up hope, doesn't know where his help is going to come from, Hashem is Rav Loshia. He is great in his salvation. Mechaye, Rav Loshia, Mash Morida Geshem, you bring down rain. So that's one of the praises we give God in that blessing. Mash Baruch Morida Geshem. So from when do we start mentioning this as one of God's great attributes that he brings rain? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, who's Rabbi Eliezer? That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, whenever we have Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. He says, when do you start mentioning the rain? Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. From the first Yom Tov of Sukkot. Not Shmini Atzeres, not the last Yom Tov, but rather the first Yom Tov of Chag. Chag is generally the reference to Sukkot, when we say Chag in Shas. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, who is Rabbi Yoshua? That's Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. He's Rabbi Eliezer's counterpart. Initially, he was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. And then Rabbi Eliezer grew and grew and grew, and then they became contemporaries. And they were both disciples of whom? Of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Nasi who led us after the destruction of the temple, the Talmud of Hillel, right? Hillel, his smallest disciple is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had five major disciples, two of which were Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Right? Like we say in Pirkei Avos. So Rabbi Eliezer said, when do we start mentioning God's greatness that he brings rain? From the first Yom Tov of Sukkot, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mi Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, from the last Yom Tov of Sukkot, meaning from Shmini Atzeret. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, Hoil ve nagshamim el asiman klala bechag, being that rain is a sign of curse if it comes on Sukkot. Even though really the season for rain has begun, but if it actually rains on Sukkot, then that's a sign of a curse. It's as though God doesn't want our mitzvah. God gives us a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, and then it rains. It's as though God doesn't want us there.
That's the first day, right?
It rained this time.
Right, it did. Lama maskil. So why should we mention rain if it's not something that we really want? Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, Sir Rabbi Eliezer answered Rabbi Yeshua, Afani, I too, lo amalti lishol. I didn't say you should ask for rain during the holiday of Sukkot, but all I asked was Ela Lazkil, but rather to mention Mashiva Ruach Umorida Geshem de Onato, to mention it in its proper time, because being that the season of rain really begins then, so we should really start mentioning this attribute of God at that time, even though we are not asking for it. Amar lo, Sir Rabbi Yeshua said, if you say that mentioning it isn't like asking for it, imken, if so, lo lam yeh maskil. So you should always mention it. Why do you stop at Pesach? If you're just mentioning God's attribute that he brings rain, you're not, that doesn't indicate that we want it now. So why don't you mention it in the summer? And the Gemara quotes the Braisa, the Tosefta, if I'm not mistaken, that Rabbi Lezer answered him, you're right. My opinion is that if someone wants to mention it in the summer, that's also permitted. Whenever we have Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, the rule is we do not fasten like him. Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti. He goes usually with the opinion of Shammai. His Rebbe was a disciple of Hillel and Shammai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He got his tradition from both of them. He was primarily a disciple of Hillel's, but he was also a disciple of Shammai's. And Rabbi Eliezer, he went with the Shammai aspect of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the rule is the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Eliezer. Throughout Shas, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. So, as you know, when do we start saying Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem? Like Rabbi Yoshua. We start on Shmini Atzeres and the end of Yom Tov. So what do we learn in the first Mishnah? We asked from when do we start mentioning God's greatness of rain. We saw Rabbi Eliezer's opinion from the first Yom Tov of Sukkot. Rabbi Yoshua's opinion from the last Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshua questioned why would we mention it when we don't want it? Rabbi Lezer says mentioning is not equal to asking. Rabbi Yeshua says, if so, then mention throughout the year. Why do you stop mentioning? That was the first Mishnah. Clear? Do we understand every word in the Mishnah? Yes.
Since when do we say that? You said that rain and the sukkah would be a bad sign because we're going out the sukkah, Hashem is pouring rain on us.
Right.
Since when do we say this concept that just because something seems to be bad for us, that means that it's a curse from Hashem? If I'm on my way to do an mitzvah and I trip and fall, do I say that, oh, Hashem doesn't want me to do this mitzvah, or what?
Good question. Now isn't the time to answer it. Yeah?
What connection does Tavdurayim have to give us time to do a song?
What?
What connection does Geshem have to do with light? Tanya. Tanya.
So if it does not rain, as we will see in the next Mishnayot, right, then the rabbis institute Taniyot. So the Mishnah is going to begin right with when do we ask for rain, and then what happens if it doesn't
right
rain.
Right.
It will evolve into those Taniyot, and from there to other
right
Taniyot.
Okay.
Yes?
In the Siddur it says from December 4th to Shmini Atzeret, you say that?
That's V'tein Talu Matar. That's the next Mishnah. That's when we ask for rain. Uh-huh. That's not Masha Baruch Amor
Degeshem. Yeah, but what is it? Tied to the solar calendar instead of a...
Right, right. What? That's for when we learn either halacha or gemara. We can't get to that in the Mishnah. Sorry. We're limited, but we want to cover Mishnah. But look, you'll get a handle on Mishnah. That's what we said. This class is so that you have a breadth of Shas. We'll cover Bezrat Hashem, a nice section of Shas this year, and then you'll have a feel for a lot of the concepts. We can't do everything in this framework. Mishnah Bet. In Shoalin Takshamim Ela Samuch Lakshamim. Now we're talking about Shoalin. The first Mishnah discussed Mazkirin, to make mention. Our Mishnah discusses Shoalim, to request for rain. That is what you mentioned earlier, that we say, V'tein Talu Matar, Hashem, please give rain. That's a request. The previous Mishnah discussed when we mention it as one of God's attributes of greatness. So our Mishnah says, En Shoalin et Hagshamim, Ela Samuch Lagshamim. We do not request for rain at any time other than when it is near the time that we would want the rain. Rabbi Yehuda says, who is Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah? Whenever you have plain Rabbi Yehuda, incorrect, it's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi. Stam Rabbi is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Stam Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ha'over lifnat teva biyom tevachon shechag. The one who passes before the ark. Over lifnat teva. On the last day of Yom Tev, Ka'acharon, the one who prays the Musaf prayer, Maskir. He starts mentioning Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem. Harishon, the one who says Shachres, I know Maskil. He does not make mention. Why did the sages institute that we start in Musaf? Why don't you begin in Ma'ariv? The beginning of Shmini Atzeres, you should start saying Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem. Why did our sages say at Musaf? So they said like this. At Ma'ariv, not everyone comes to Shul. Their shuls were outside, and people were sometimes scared to go all the way out to where the shul was. So not everyone showed for Ma'ariv on the night of Yom Tov. Shachris, some people show up late. So if we make the switch to start saying Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem in the morning, in the beginning of prayer, Shachris, don't forget, they didn't have the long Pesukei Dezimra like us. Their prayer was very short. It began with the blessings of Shema, and then straight into Shmoneh Esrei. So if you showed up 15 minutes late, and you have one shul in town, that's where they used to live up until about a century ago, so then you miss Shachris. So our sages said, we will make the switch to say Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem by Musaf. Ha'acharon Mazkir. The last one, meaning the one who says Musaf, he makes the switch so that everyone notices. By then, everyone should have made it to shul. Harishon ino Mazkir. But the first one, the one who says Shachris on Shemini Atzeres, he does not mention Mashiv Ruach and Morde Geshem. The Yom Tov, Harishon Shel Pesach, and when it comes time to conclude saying Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem, so then we conclude when? On the first Yom Tov of Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, the one who says Shachris Harishon Mazkir, he still says Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem. For the same reason, when do we switch and stop saying Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem? On Musaf of the first day of Pesach, Acharon Eino Mazkir, the Baal Musaf already does not mention Mashiv Ruach Morde Geshem. Yes, sir. I'm listening. What do you mean?
I heard that the reason is because we don't want separation between Am Yisrael. That people should be spending different times. It should be praying, davening, different things.
I don't know what you're referring to. Sorry.
Why is it a problem?
Why is what a problem?
That people will. Part of the people will not know when to start.
Ah, we want everyone to do the what's right.
I heard the reason that because we don't want separation between
them. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
You're saying because we want everyone to do right?
Our sages wanted people to know there's a switch. Don't forget, you're talking about Amoratzim who can't read. There aren't printed Sidurim. Half the people that come to Shul can't read, and that's why you need a Chazan who repeats the Shemona Esrei to say it for them. So how are they ever going to know that you switched? So we say, wait till everyone's in Shul, wait till Musaf, everyone will know, and then you do the switch. So you switch on Musaf.
Why can't you start with Ma'ariv?
Because not everyone came to Ma'ariv. A lot of people didn't show.
It doesn't matter.
They won't notice tomorrow that you made the switch. When the chazan, when the gavai gives a clap and says, "Now we're switching. Now we're saying mashiv beruah." Okay.
Something that
I hear. Okay. It's not my logic. It's in the Jerusalem Talmud. I mean, not that I learn it, but it's quoted.
You can do it at Ma'ariv, and they will notice also at Musaf when they show up.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how much people listened to Chazar Sashatz back then.
So the only reason they would notice is because of the announcement.
I'm not sure. That's my addition to the Gemara. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the idea is that everyone's anticipating the switch, or maybe they had a sing-song to introduce it like we have today, or because of the Gabbai, or maybe a different reason. I'm not sure why. Okay, notice that the Mishnah began with a halacha that really does not pertain to the continuation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah began with discussing v'tein talum matar. The Mishnah says, we only request rain when it's near the period of rain, and really we will only explain that sentence in the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah began with a sentence that it doesn't explain. It says you begin requesting rain when it's near the period of rain, and then it goes back to the topic of the previous Mishnah to discuss when we mention God's greatness of rain, Mashiv Ruach Morda Geshem. So Rabbi Yehuda said, how do we break it down? By Musaf we do the switches. We're continuing. Ad Eimatai. Eimatai means when. Ad Eimatai means till when. Shualin et agshamim. Now we're going back to the subject of asking for rain. Till when do we ask for rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Who is Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Berebi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad sheyavora Pesach. Till after Pesach we ask for rain. Rabbi Meir Omer. Ad sheyitze Nisan. Till the end of Nisan. Shneimaz, the verse says, Vayorod lachem geshem uchel malkosh barishon. God, as a blessing, there was a famine, and God came to help you out, so God gave you rain, all the rains you needed. The early rain, the late rain, He gave all that rain for you on the first month, the month of Nisan, as a blessing. So the Navi is telling them, even though you've had a famine for so many years, God's going to give you all the rain you needed this year in 1 month, and in 6 days, we have on tradition, all the crops grew very, very quickly, and they were able to harvest the crops. So, if the Navi is telling them a blessing, how could he tell them that all the rain is going to come pouring down in the month of Nisan, if that's not a month that's fitting for rain? Must be, says Rabbi Meir, from this verse we see, that all of the month of Nisan, it can still be productive for the crops if there is rain. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, we will ask for rain until after Nisan.
That day was yesterday.
That day was yesterday, right. No. Nisan, not yeah. Tishrei.
Right, but the day when poured for the whole year was yesterday.
Okay. So we know halachically we don't do like either of these opinions. We say Mashiv Ruach Morda, we say Morda Tal until the beginning of Pesach. Another opinion that's not quoted here. Yes, sir.
Sorry. In Masechet Rosh Hashanah, it discusses the times about making Rosh Kodesh. In order so there'd be some symmetry between one town and, you know, they'd be bringing in a Rosh Kodesh at the same time. There was a Shliach, but, you know, would the same idea exist, I don't know if that makes sense. I'm just wondering because of the Galus.
So we're not discussing, the Gemara discusses the Galus, we're not discussing it.
Sorry, I was...
It's a good question. The Gemara discusses it. But we're doing Mishnah now.
Okay.
Mishnah Gimel. So one second. Let's just review what we see Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah began by telling us our request of Etein Talu Motar is near the period of when we would need the rain. Rabbi Yehuda said, remember, by the way, whenever you have the word near in the Mishnah, Samuch, it needs definition. Often in the Mishnah, Samuch means a half hour's time. Over here, obviously, it doesn't mean that. Rabbi Yehuda told us that the way we break down the Zichron Kshamim, Mashiv Ruach Moed HaGeshem, is that Musaf is always the switch point. We start at Musaf of the last day, we stop at Musaf of the first day of Pesach, and then the Mishnah concluded with a discussion of till when do we ask for rain, going back to the topic of Etein Talu Matar, and the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda says, we keep asking till after Pesach, and Rabbi Meir brought a proof from the verse that until after Nisan is still a time that it would be a blessing for rain, so we might as well ask till the end of Nisan. What would Rabbi Meir hold? Till when do we mention rain? It's a good question. We don't know. Mishnah Gimel. Bishlosha b'mar Cheshvan. Notice the Mishnah calls the month of Cheshvan Mar Cheshvan. Why is Cheshvan called Mar Cheshvan? What does the word Mar mean? Ein kol goyim ke mar midli. Mar is a drop. Mar midli, a drop in a bucket. Mar Cheshvan. Cheshvan is the month of drops of rain. So, Bishlosha b'mar Cheshvan. What?
Okay.
3 to the month of Cheshvan, we ask for rain. Yes, sir.
From what did you say that? The
last? I don't remember. But I think if you look in Sefer HaTodah, Rav Eliyahu Kitov, I think he quotes this. I think he probably, I might have seen it there. He probably quotes it, and then the new versions have sources for everything he writes, so you can see over there. Okay. 3 to the month of Mar Cheshvan, we ask for rain. We say V'tein Talu Matar. So the Mishnah began saying an opinion without attributing it to a specific Tana, that's called Stam Mishnah. Who is Stam Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. Right. Rabbi, when he was composing the Mishnah, saw that Rabbi Meir had the greatest version of Mishnah, so he took Rabbi Meir's version, and whenever you have the Mishnah without an opinion, we assume it's Rabbi Meir's opinion. So, So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi agreed with Rabbi Meir's opinion, he and his courts, and that's why they gave it the power of the Stam Mishnah, the opinion as though this is the simple opinion of the Mishnah, because he and his court voted with that opinion. But whose opinion is it? We assume it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Bishlosha b'mar Cheshvan shalin takshamim. So Stam the Mishnah says, 3 to the month of Mar Cheshvan, we ask for rain, we say v'tein talu matar. Rabban Gamliel Omer. Who was Rabban Gamliel? So there were a few. One was Hillel's grandson. Hillel had a son named Shimon, who had a son named Gamliel, who had a son named Shimon, who had a son named Gamliel. So you have at least two Rabban Gamliels. One's Rabban Gamliel HaZakein, Hillel's grandson, and one is Rabban Gamliel the youngster, who was that Rabban Gamliel's grandson, Hillel's great-great-grandson. Okay, so 3 to the month of Mar Cheshvan, we ask for rain. Rabban Gamliel says, Bishiv Avo. 7 to the month of Mar Cheshvan is when we start asking for rain. 15 days after, when? After Chag of Sukkot. Kidei sheyegeh acharon sheb'Yisrael linhar perat. So that the last Jew who had come up for Aliyah LaRegel in Sukkot could make it back to the Euphrates River. So how long does it take him to get there? 15 days. And how do we go today, Halacha L'maaseh in Israel? We go like Rabban Gamliel. That's why 7 to the month of Mar Cheshvan, this coming week, Bezrat Hashem, we will switch to saying V'tein Talu Matar here in Israel. So this was a decree that our sages instituted this in the time of the temple, and this institution remains to today. Even though today you don't have people doing Aliyah LaRegel that have to travel 15 days, but this was the institution and so it remains. A point to ponder, why is the halacha that if today you say V'tein Talu Matar, you have to repeat all of Shemona Esrei. when in fact, really we need the rain today. And the whole reason that the rabbis instituted that we don't ask for rain is so that we don't ask for something that will be harmful to all those Jews that are traveling right now. Well, today there aren't Jews traveling, and being that in essence it is correct to ask for rain today, it should be correct, only that the rabbis instituted that we don't, how come if you by mistake did ask for rain, we say your whole Shmoneh Esrei is disqualified, start from scratch.
But aren't we asking for rain now?
We're not yet. We will start next week on the 7th of the month of Marcheshvan. Today was Aleph, right?
But doesn't it say from Shmini Atzeret
until... We mention rain. We say Mashiv Roch Morda Geshem, but we don't ask. We don't say V'tein Talu Matar.
Okay.
So what do we see in the third Mishnah? We saw that Stamad the Mishnah held, you start asking for rain 3 to the month of Marcheshvan. Rabbi Gamliel held from the 7th, which gives 15 days from the holiday for people to make it back to the Euphrates, people who had come to celebrate the holiday at the temple, Aliyah LaRegel. Yes, sir?
But can it be the answer for your question that once there was a Tekan of Chachamim, we don't start thinking about the reason?
To an extent, yeah. That's approximately the answer, yeah. Very good. Mishnah Dalit. Now the Mishnah starts talking about what do we do when it doesn't rain. And that is going to be the focus for many, many more Mishnayot now. And that's where we'll end up with Taniyot, that we institute fast if it doesn't rain. So up until now we were discussing how we ask for rain, how we mention rain, and now what happens if it doesn't rain? Higia Shiva Asal b'Marcheshvan v'lo yaradu gshamim. If the 17th of Marcheshvan came and it hasn't started raining. So before we continue, we have to introduce a few climatic facts about the country of Israel. Here in Israel, it only rains in the winter. If you plan a wedding in the summer, so many people plan outdoor weddings because you don't have to worry about it raining. And when people have to plan a bar mitzvah, they can plan an outdoor bar mitzvah or a barbecue, and all summer long it does not rain in Israel. If it rains, then something's wrong. So there's a problem. It destroys the crops. So there, it happens. Sometimes in the middle of the summer, suddenly you'll have a sandstorm, and you'll see the sky turn bright red, and then it starts raining mud. The rain comes down together with sand, and I have clothing at home that I got caught in a sandstorm, and they just got filled with mud, and I haven't been able to get the mud out. I mean, it's just weird rain. It does happen sometimes, rain in the middle of... So sometimes it happens that in the middle of the summer it rains, and that's really not a good thing. But you can, 99.99% of the time, you can assume it's not raining all summer long.
Could it rain normally?
What?
Could it rain normally?
I've never seen it rain normally. I mean, it hails sometimes in the middle of the summer. Maybe sometimes you have normal rain, but it's one in many years. It's very uncommon. So we need our rain in the winter. That's the way the crops grew around here. So if the 17th of Marcheshvan came and it hasn't rained, hitchilu hayichidim mitanin shalosh taniyot. Those that are singled out. Who are those? Those are the talmidei chachamim. They start fasting 3 taniyot, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Those are going to be the series of taniyot. Whenever we say 3 taniyot, so it's behab. Beis, hey, beis. Beis is 2, Monday. Hey is 5, Beis is 2. Monday, Thursday, Monday. So that they started fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday in anticipation that in their fasting and prayer, God will accept their prayers and it will rain. How do these fasts go? Ochlin v'shotin mi'chashecha. These talmidei chachamim that are singular in the generation, they eat and drink at night when it gets dark. In the morning they'll fast. The fast only begins in the morning. Umutarin bimlacha, and throughout the fast they are permitted to do work, uvirchitza, and washing themselves, uvisicha, and anointing themselves, uvinilata sandal, and in wearing a sandal made of leather, uvtashmisha mita, and to be with their wives. These are low level fasts. We don't say they have to afflict themselves of everything. Notice the Mishnah says mutarin, they are permitted, seemingly indicating that they are forbidden to eat. Meaning, once a person has attained the stature that he is a Talmid Chacham, that is one of the Yechidim, it's not that he could say, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. The Mishnah seems to say, once you've attained that stature, you must fast. Very often people think, if I only do this, I'll be a Talmid Chacham. If I only do this, I'll be a Yerei Shamayim. If I'll only wake up for Vasikin, I'll be a Vasik. doesn't work that way. If you're all around life, you behave like a vasik, then one of the things you have to do is wake up and pray vasikin, like the people who are vatikin pray. If you just wake up for that, so it's like putting on a monkey's head. That's very nice. It might be a positive thing to do. Could be, according to the Rambam, that's the ideal way to pray. But that doesn't make you a vatik. Vatikin pray that way. You want to? It's a nice thing to do. It's probably not worth it, but it's a nice thing to do. So the Mishnah tells us these people who are yechidim fast. Is it that they're permitted to fast? It's a nice thing that they fast, or they're obligated to fast? Right. But what is the Mishnah telling us? Let's say I'm there 500 years ago when there's a drought, and we hit the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, there's no rain. So I say, well, there's Rav Yosef Karo in town, there's the Mabit in town, there's the Rav Yaakov Beirav in town, but maybe I should also fast because, you know, there's no rain. So then in Shemayim, they laugh at me. They say, you're a yatz. There are big Tamidei Chachamim around here. What are you? You're going to fast? You're not a Yachid. You're not a singular Talmud Chacham in town. When you have Rav Yosef Karo around, you have all these Tamidei Chachamim. What are you? Nothing. So then, if I would want to fast, that's like being just proud. Who are you? What about Rav Yosef Karo? I'm not saying I'm not allowed to. But this din has nothing to do with me. Just because a person decides I want to be machmir on myself, that doesn't make him a yachid. What about the yachidim themselves? Rav Yosef Karo, 500 years ago, he's up in the city of Tzfat and there's no rain. So is Rav Yosef Karo permitted to fast? It's a positive thing to fast, or obligated to fast? So we said, from the fact that the Mishnah says that these yechidim are permitted to do melacha, etc., that seems to indicate that when it comes to food, they are prohibited. It's not just a pious thing to do, but it seems to be an obligation on the yechidim. That's the lashon of the Mishnah is indicative in that direction. So what we see in this Mishnah, we saw that from the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, we start getting antsy if it doesn't rain. The singular Talmidei Chachamim fast, and they fast three fasts, behab. They are light fasts. They are permitted to do work, wash themselves, anoint themselves, wear sandals, and be with their wives. And the fast only begins in the morning. They're allowed to eat and during the night. Mishnah. That's a good question. There are many shitot in the Gemara. It's a very good question. We have revi'ot. Revi'ot are the times when we anticipate the rains, the first rain, the second rain, the third rain. And there are many shitot in the Gemara. What is revi'ah rishona, shniyah, shlishit? But you're right. I don't remember if you're right, quite honestly. Yud zayin chaf gimel. I don't remember. I don't remember which revi'ah that is. I don't remember. Why did Chazal say three? Whatever I'll tell you will be my guess. I have a guess, but it's my guess. I didn't see someone that answers it, so I don't know. Give me just a second. I understand what you're asking. I could tell you quite a few things, but I'm not sure. I didn't see someone that explains it. So why just to entertain you with my thoughts? I don't know. What do I think? So the concept of this three-day fast we find in Megillas Esther. Tzumu alai shloshet yamim laila vayom, according to some, is behab. So we find this concept of 3 days. We also find that the number three is a powerful number. The Torah is divided into three sections: the stories of Bereishis, the mitzvahs, etc. There are three sections of the Torah. There are three components: Dam Yisrael, Kanim Levim Yisraelim. There are three blessings: Yerecha, right? The Talmud tells us that there is a certain strength of three within the Jewish people, and maybe kabbalistically, that's why we have to have three fasts. The fact that it's divided over 2 weeks, I don't know. The fact that it's divided on Monday, Thursday, Monday, so we know that Monday and Thursdays are days of Rachamim, Rachamim down below, Rachamim down above. I don't know. More than that, these are all like thoughts about maybe, but I don't know. I'm sure it's discussed. I don't know what's said.
The Rambam says that
Maybe I'm not remembering correctly. We should look it up. Maybe you're right. Right. So I think it says it's Rachamim, but maybe I'm wrong. So that, if you look at the Mishnah Brura on why we say Tachanun on those days, I think he addresses it. But that's not our topic. Let's move forward. Mishnah Hey. We hit the beginning of the month of Kislev, so a whole month of Cheshvan has passed without rain. So the courts declare three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, on the congregation. And again, these fasts are light fasts, in that you could eat at nightfall when it's dark. You only start fasting in the morning. And one is permitted to do work during these fasts, and to wash, and to anoint oneself, and to wear shoes, and to be with one's wife, to use the bed. So if Rosh Chodesh Kislev comes and there has yet to be rain, so then they institute a fast for the public, and the fasts are Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now, we officially are supposed to conclude now at 9:30. Would you guys like to continue for another few minutes and finish the chapter? Okay, so Mishnah Vav. Avru eilu velo na'anu. If these fasts passed and the people weren't answered, it hasn't rained. Betin gozerin shalosh ta'aniyot acherot al hatzibur. So then, we've had Monday, Thursday, Monday. That brings us to the middle of the month, approximately. And the Beis Din institutes another three fasts on the congregation. Ochlin v'shotin mibod yom. These fasts, you could only eat and drink the day before. But once it hits nightfall, it's like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. These are weightier fasts. We haven't been answered when we took on lighter fasts. So we take on full day fasts, 24-hour fasts. Vasurin bimlacha, and people are prohibited to do work during these fasts. Uvirchitza, and from washing themselves. Uvisichan, from anointing themselves. Uvinilata sandal, and from wearing a sandal. Uvitashmisha mita, and from being with their wives. It's mamash like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Vinoalin et hamechatzaot, and the courts would lock up the bathhouses. So you have three heavy duty fasts. All the people are fasting. We have to note that there seem to be two aspects. There is inui, like on Yom Kippur, that we are afflicting. And then there's avelut. There's an aspect of mourning. Here, it seems we're talking about inui, just like Yom Kippur. It's afflicting in prayer. Averu eilu, if God forbid, these fasts passed. Velo na'anu, and they were not answered, it did not rain. Betin gozrin alehen od sheva. The courts declare another 7 days of mourning. Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Seven fasts consecutive in Monday, Thursdays. Shehen shloshes letaniyot, that means that we will have a total of 13. We said 3, 3, and 7, right? So that gives us a total of 13 fasts al hatzibur that the congregation has fasted. And we don't declare more than that. More than these fasts, we do not declare. Harei elu, these last seven are yeterot al harishonot. They are more weighty than the first ones. Sheba elu matri'in, that on these last seven fasts, we blow shofar in prayer. What do you mean? Oh, so that we have to look in the Gemara. The Gemara goes through where, when in prayer we blow. I think so. V'no'alin et hachanuyot, and in these last seven fasts, we lock up the stores. Basheni, on all the fasts that fall out on Mondays.
What's
matri'in? Matri'in. We blow shofar, like trua. Yeah. Basheni, matri'in. As nightfall comes, so they tilt open the doors of the stores a little bit towards night. People have to buy food, right? But you don't publicly open up the shuk and open up your wares. You open up in a modest way the stores towards the end of the fast. Uvachamishi, but on Thursdays, mutarin, then they'd be permitted to open their stores completely during the day. Mipnei chvod haShabbat, because in honor of Shabbos, people have to buy their food for Shabbos. Mishnah Zayin, averu eilu velo nanu. If these fasts passed and they were not answered, it did not rain. Nimaatin v'masa umatan. So people do less business, they spend less investing in things of happiness. If they want to make a wedding, or they want to just plant things, orchards that'll be pleasant to walk through, they want to plant gardens, so we do less. We don't do as much as we would in an ordinary year. Divinyan, in building, and here also, it's building, you want to build a fancy place for a wedding. Uvintia, or in planting, what we said earlier, gardens for pleasure. Be'erusin, uvenisuin, we say that people shouldn't get engaged or get married if they've already had children and they want to have a second wife, etc. So then we say, you've done your mitzvah, don't do things of joy. It's obvious that God is upset with us. Be focused on the fact that we have to do tshuva. Don't spend your time focusing on looking for times of happiness. Focus on doing tshuva, don't focus on this. And we even act as though we're in mourning. We don't even greet one another with happiness, asking one another, how you doing? But rather we are kivnei adam anezufin lamakom. We act like people who have been yelled at by God. When a father yells at a kid, he's on the verge of tears. He's not going around happy and singing and saying, ah, how are you? That's chutzpah. The father yelled at the kids. It should have an impact on the kids. So we're all the Ribbono Shel Olam's children. And if he doesn't give us rain, we view it as his yelling at us. So we're supposed to behave that way. Hayechidim, the singular Talmidei Chachamim, Chozerim Umitanim. They go back and fast ad sheyetze Nisan, until the end of the month of Nisan. I think so. I don't know if they have to fast every single one. I don't know. Yes, sir.
How long would we have to ready for Rosh Hashanah without rain? What is the period? What is the time without rain that we would consider as our oimus from Hashem?
So the Mishnah said that once 17 days in the month of Mar Cheshvan, but that's not so simple because really the period of rain doesn't go by the lunar calendar, it goes by the solar calendar. Right. So we have to sit down and do the math. Ad sheyetze Nisan, till the month of Nisan goes out. Yatza Nisan, if the month of Nisan went out, ve'lo yaradu gshamim, and it didn't rain, siman klala. I think the gears over here should be ve'yaradu gshamim. If the month of Nisan ended and then it rained, then it's a sign of curse. Shneimar, the verse says, Shmuel gathers the Jewish people and he tells them, you've asked for a king and God is upset at you for having asked for a king, and I'll prove it to you. Now is after the month of Nisan, it's the time of harvesting. Halok tzich etim hayom, isn't it the time of harvest now, today? Shmuel tells them, it's the middle of the summer, it's after the month of Nisan. I will call out to Hashem and he will make it thunder and rain. And that's a curse, because God is upset at you for having asked for a king. And Shmuel does that, and they beg him, please, pray that it should stop raining. All our crops will be destroyed. If it rains now, it's a curse. It'll destroy everything. All our crops will rot. They're out in the fields drying, so we could store them for the winter. You can't make it rain now. We're all going to die. So from here, we see that after Nisan, if it rains, it is a sign of a curse. So in the last Mishnah, what we just saw in Mishnah Zayin, is that if after all these 13 fasts of the congregation, we weren't answered, it didn't rain, so then we have things that are similar to laws of mourning. We do less business, we do less building or planting things that are rejoicing, less marriage ceremonies, less greeting one another with peace. and the singular ones fast until the end of the month of Nisan. After the month of Nisan, if it were to rain, it would be a sign of curse. Yes, sir.
Is this a printing mistake or
a It must be another girsa.
What would they get?
Well, I don't know how this girsa fits with the pasuk. I don't know. Don't know.
With the pasuk or the whole
I don't know. So the Tosfos Yom Tov tries to rectify how this girsa would work. If you want, look in the Tosfos Yom Tov. Let's quickly review what we saw in the first chapter of Ta'anit. We saw, when do you begin mentioning rain? Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says from the first Yom Tov. Rabbi Yoshua says from the last Yom Tov of Sukkot. That is the mention of Mashiv Ruach Morda Geshem. Rabbi Yoshua questions, isn't it a sign of curse during Sukkot? If it rains, why should I mention it? Rabbi Eliezer says, I didn't say to ask, but rather to mention. Rabbi Yoshua says, if so, then mention all year long if mentioning doesn't constitute asking. The next Mishnah told us, the Stam Mishnah is that you only ask for rain near the time that you would want it. And then later on in the Perek, we explain that. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do you start mentioning rain? On the last Yom Tov of Sukkot, the Baal Musaf starts mentioning it. And on the first Yom Tov of Pesach, the Baal Musaf stops mentioning it. So when do we ask for rain? Rabbi Yehuda says till after Pesach, and Rabbi Meir says till the end of Nisan, and he proves it from the prophet Yoel that God says, I'll give you all the rain you need in this month of Nisan. The third Mishnah told us that we start asking, Betein Talu Matar, according to Tanakama, 3 to the month of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Gamliel says 7 to the month of Mar Cheshvan, giving 15 days for the furthest person to get back to the Euphrates River after he had come to the temple for Sukkot. Mishnah Dalet taught us that if 17 days into the month of Mar Cheshvan there isn't any rain, the singular people start fasting Behab, and it's a light fast that begins in the morning, and we're permitted with everything other than eating and drinking. The next Mishnah told us that if Rosh Chodesh Kislev came and there hasn't been rain, then the courts institute a fast Behab on everyone, which are also light fasts. We're only prohibited from eating and drinking, and the fast only begins in the morning. If those fast pass and there's no rain, then the courts declare 3 fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and these fasts are weightier. We may not eat and drink even at night, and we are prohibited from work, wash, anointing, sandals, being with our wives, and the courts lock up the wash houses. If those didn't work, the courts institute another 7 fasts, which are just as weighty. These ones are worse in that we also blow shofar and we lock up the stores. On Monday, we open the stores towards nightfall, and on Thursday, the stores were open in honor of Shabbos. If all 13 fasts of the congregation passed and there was no rain, we learned the Mishnah Zayin, so then for the rest of the winter, we do less business or building or planting that's rejoicing, or marriage ceremonies that for people who did Pru Urvu, and greeting one another warmly. The singular ones continue fasting till the end of Nisan, after which any rain that would come would be a sign of a curse.